This meeting to order. This is the regular board meeting of Tuesday, November 25, for the Sanitary District. And I'll call the meeting to order and ask for a roll call, please.
Certainly, Director Simon is absent for the record. Director Dean.
Here.
Secretary Duncan.
Present.
Vice President Lee.
Present.
And President Yan.
Present. Thank you very much. Then you will notice on my right an American flag. It's on a table. I am donating it to the district. It's a White House flag, flown from the White House about 20 years ago. And it's in pretty good shape, but it's never been used. So,
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I don't see any general public, other any public members online.
Other than probably other than our guests. No.
All right. Thank you. Then I'll dispense with general public and move to the consent calendar, which includes board minutes of November 11 and 19, financial statements of October, and approval and compliance and activity reports for October. I would entertain a motion if there are no questions.
Director Lee, I would like to move the entire consent calendar.
Well, thank you. Do you have a question?
Well, I have a question. I just need clarification.
So let me get a second, and then we'll do the clarification.
But I do have a question or a comment.
Yeah, someone just second it so we can get it on the table. All right, I'll second it. Now, please. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm just wanting to make sure I'm understanding this new process, since we're not...
We're not going to start till January.
Thank you.
I think that was our last decision at the end of it.
Okay.
We'll start.
That's why I was looking at you, Alex.
So was that your same question, Nina?
Nope.
Okay, go ahead.
I wanted to say something about something on the construction committee.
Oh, that's fine. From
December 10th.
We're
doing
December 10th.
We're doing consent right now.
All right.
We don't start the new process till January.
Okay.
So just these three items.
Oh, got it.
Okay.
See, that's why we were, I was silent.
Right. I was like, wait a second.
So I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No opposed. Thank you very much. Be four ayes and one absent. I would like to say, make a comment about the approval of the consent calendar. It never escapes me how much work is in these three little documents that are here. So I just want to say kudos to the Finance Committee for the incredible amount of work that you do. And of course, to the staff, operation maintenance and collections, for all the work they do on the activity reports. So with that said, we'll move to item six, the presentation from Cargill.
Yeah, so some of the board may have heard about this Cargill project. We have representatives here from Cargill to talk to the board about a proposal that they want to make related to a segment of a pipeline that runs through our shipping plant premises. But I do want to turn over to them to, they have a presentation about the project of getting rid of their salt, their brine in particular. So there's a little background about the company, the project itself, and what it means to us as it relates to us here on our property. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to, is it Don that's going to
be? Don's going to do most of the presentation.
Great.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And on behalf of Cargill, thank you for allowing us time to present on this important sea level rise adaptation project. I'm Don Brown. I'm the land resources manager for Cargill's operations in the Bay Area. Drew, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, Drew Heisey, project manager with Cargill.
And Barry?
Hi, Barry Schatz, outside real estate environmental counsel for Cargill.
And I think you know Jackie from EBDA. But I want to thank her for attending this meeting. EBDA's just been a fantastic partner on this project. And I appreciate you allowing me to present remotely. I needed to be back in Minnesota today, and I guess we're expecting a dumping of snow. So
Oh my,
that's what you
not
that's what
fall.
happens when you're back in the Midwest. So you are this is you see the title slide here, I hope. This is our Newark facility, and that's the harvested sea salt that we produce. That's about a couple years worth of sea salt that we produced. And just that you're aware that we have salt ponds in the Bay Area, but you may not be aware of the larger organization. We're a leading global food ingredients and industrial products company. And so Cargill sits at the heart of the supply chain. So we produce and work with partners that source, make, and deliver products, food and bioindustrials and industrial products. So we're connecting farmers with markets, customers with ingredients, and families with daily essentials. So we have a wide variety of products in our portfolio: eggs, edible oils, salt, skincare, animal feed, and alternative fuel. So just at a glance, the larger organization with about 155,000 employees globally. We're operating in 70 countries, and the company is 160 years old. I'd like to tell people that we were. When Cargill was formed, the same year Abraham Lincoln was president. And sustainability is really embedded in our purpose. That's part of everything we do, and it's part of what this project that we're going to talk to you about. And if you're going to slice and dice Cargill, there's several ways you could do it, but we've got these three enterprises where the food enterprise works with food manufacturers and food service customers, retailers, consumers. We provide protein products and food ingredients. We have an ag and trading enterprise, which again connects farmers and users of grains and oil seeds. And we also provide trading and risk management solutions. And our specialized portfolio kind of serves those unique markets, animal nutrition and health, bioindustrial products, de-icing solutions, and then also the enterprise houses our joint ventures. So, should get the slide here. That's just another view of the facility. So, we operate on about 12,000 acres in Newark, in Fremont, and in Redwood City, and you really don't understand how big the facility is until you start driving around. I mean, these are like little lakes that they're so large at 12,000 acres. So I was going to give you just because it kind of explains why we have this project going on. So just a quick overview of if you want to know how to make salt. That green X there is where we bring in bay water from Alameda Creek, and then we move that brine through those concentrator ponds, and then we eventually it brings it to those pickle ponds where it's just right before the salt will crystallize, and then right at that point we then pump it into those orange ponds, which are crystallizer ponds. And then that we pump out the remaining brine and we can harvest the salt. We can produce about 500,000 tons of sea salt every year. So the remaining brine goes into those purple ponds. We could recirculate it around and extract additional sodium chloride. The remaining brine after that goes into those aqua colored ponds, which we call our mixed sea salt ponds. And mixed sea salts are simply other salts that are in bay water. And then we can the salts in those ponds crystallize, and the last remaining brine is a magnesium chloride brine. And it's a successful product for us because we sell that for de-icing and dust suppressant purposes. And so that's a magnesium chloride. I try and get the there we go. Oops. So those are the products. If you see those products in the store, the diamond crystal water softener salt, and then the purified sea salt that you see there is actually kind of how we ship to food manufacturers. And then those pictures on the left are the dust off and the dust suppressant product. So, and just a little bit of our community involvement. Our kind of part of our DNA is really to be active in the community. We're not just operating our businesses. So we spend considerable money supporting local organizations. And the plant itself employs about 200 union and management jobs. And over the past 5 years, we've contributed about $1.5 million to local nonprofits and then also a lot of volunteer organizations. Those organizations that you see in the bottom right corner are some of them. And the other activity that we've been involved with is we've conveyed over 41,000 acres of salt ponds to public wildlife agencies. And the largest conveyance occurred in 2003, which formed Eden Landing and the ponds in the South Bay, which are now part of that South Bay Restoration Project. But the issue that we're looking at and we're acting proactively on is around sea level rise, because as we're operating, you know, in the bay. And so we realize that, you know, climate change and sea level rise is going to be an impact to all of us, and that we really need to act now before it becomes an issue. So we're addressing sea level rise by protecting the bay for future generations, by enhancing the processing of those mixed sea salts, extracting additional product out of that, and then working with EBDA to safely return those mixed sea salts back to the bay. So I'm going to turn it over to Drew, who's going to explain a little bit more about the project.
Thanks, Don. So there's just a high level flow chart here showing the mixed sea salt ponds would be on the far left. What we want to do is extract additional liquid bittern that's kind of entrained in the salt matrix. So we're able to trench and drain and recover that product. Then we want to use bay water and redissolve it and put it into a pipeline and send it up to EBDA here in San Leandro, where it would blend in with the 50 to 60 million gallons per day that are discharged. The graphic says 1 to 2 million gallons per day. It's going to be closer to 1 million, about 700, maybe 800 gallons per minute. It's essentially a salt brine. There's nothing solid in it. It's just a sort of concentrated brine made from those mixed sea salts. So that is a challenging proposition to move brine 15 or 16 miles from Newark all the way to San Leandro. Initially, we looked at this project several years ago. We wanted to build a new 16-inch pipeline between the cities. And there's five cities that we have to go through. We found it's very difficult trenching through Hesperian Boulevard, for example, Grant Avenue, the wetland areas. So our latest iteration that we think is really going to have the least environmental impact, it's going to be the most constructible, the quickest, is to use an asset that's already in the ground, which is the Shell Oil Pipeline. It's been out of service since 1996. It's an 8-inch steel line. What is that impact Oro Loma? Well, it comes right under Oro Loma's property. Jimmy and his team was gracious enough to allow us to take a look at it a year ago. So we got into the pipeline, we put a camera down it. We wanted to see what sort of condition it was in. Is it empty? Is it you know, suitable for lining? And everything that we saw was very encouraging to Cargill. The pipe looks like it was put in just a few years ago. It's been very well preserved. But we would need to go ahead and sleeve the pipeline with a plastic pipe to protect it from the chlorides. But we would use that as a conduit then to get from Newark all the way to the MDF facility in San Leandro. Like I said, 1 million gallons per day of brine would be discharged on a year-round basis. We would have the ability to start and to stop the pipeline depending on what sort of constraints Oro Loma or EBDA may have. We would be well within the permitted limits since we're, you know, just a couple of percent of the total volume that would be going into the EBDA line. That's sort of in a nutshell what we'd like to use, but we would like to work with Oro Loma to secure the section of pipeline that is owned by Oro Loma. We've been working with Shell, and Don, I don't know the exact term that we're in regards to working with Shell and Air Products owns part of the pipeline. But we're under a formal agreement with them to take a further look at their line and make sure that we can utilize it. This is a graphic of the pipe under Oro Loma. What we've learned from Oro Loma is that about 200 foot of the pipe was removed, maybe 2015. It's the bubbled area there behind the settling basins. We actually slid a camera down the south area of this, where it says line cut and isolated. We went all the way north. We went underneath the canal. Again, the pipe was in great condition, but we would need to reconnect from here to Grant Avenue. So there would be a couple of options. Either the pipe would need to be reconnected there in the marsh, or we could do a horizontal directional drill and go under the property and come up over on a Grant Avenue. So we just wanted to start presenting that to Oral Loma and just kind of get it, on your agenda to be thinking about it and considering for the future. That's sort of the technical piece of it, Don. I can finish here. That'd be great.
Yeah, our goal really is really reduce the risk that there could potentially be a release of brine due to sea level rise. And we've got this is really a sustainable project. And the fact that we've got EBDA that's got this existing effluent deep water outfall, we're taking advantage of assets that have the capacity, and we're in EBDA's service district. And it allows us to do some enhanced harvesting of commercial product from those mixed sea salts, and partnering with EBDA as a customer, which has jointly create a solution to adapt to sea level rise. So I may turn this over to Jackie if she wants to speak and explain the benefits to EBDA.
Good evening, everyone. So yeah, Cargill had asked me to say a few words about why EBDA's been participating in this project. So we've been partnering with Cargill actually since 2019. It was a pre-pandemic contact that has continued to evolve. And as it says there on this slide, our JPA, we were basically created to serve the customers of our member agencies. So our service area encompasses all our member service areas, and Cargill's facility sits within the USD service area. So we are assisting our members in sustainably managing a waste product that's generated within our service area. Also, particularly during dry weather and even at times during wet weather, we have considerable excess capacity in our pipeline. And so why would we not use that excess capacity to to beneficially support this project? I'll go back to the second to last bullet. The last bullet about adapting the sea level rise, that's clearly aligned with our mission as well. We're working with all of our member agencies to try to be more resilient to sea level rise and facilitate a resilient shoreline. And so we put a lot of effort and funding into making sure the bay is protected, and this is another way to do that. Certainly, the ecosystem impacts of a salt washout could be catastrophic, and so it's in our collective interest to solve this long-term problem. And then lastly, jumping back up to the financial piece, Cargill will be paying EBDA for the connection to our system and for ongoing discharge of the salt. We'll be continuing to discuss exactly what that looks like and how those benefits accrue to our members, but there is a financial benefit that would offset our ratepayer expenses. So that's what we're, all of those collectively are what we are in this for. And Cargill's been really supportive of a collaborative effort. They've funded all of the technical due diligence work that has given us a level of confidence that we can do this in a compliant and sustainable way.
Yeah, just add that this is a 20-year minimum timeline. It's a slow process, so it's not a 5-year and we're done.
And just that we realize that the EBDA Joint Powers Agreement expires in 2040, so because of the length of this project, we'll have to be working with EBDA and whatever organization is in place following the expiration of the Joint Powers Agreement. So we threw a lot at you, but Jimmy wanted us to keep it brief, so we worked to do that. So do we have any questions about the project or next steps?
Yeah, I just want to be clear. All we're doing tonight is the presentation to hear how the project works and how it gets here. Is that
Yes,
all
we
we're
just wanted. Yeah, the I know you've been on, you're on the EBDA commission, so the you're aware of the project. We wanted the other board members of Ora Loma to be aware of what the project was all about. So that this is just a presentation.
I actually asked for it to be on the for tonight
Okay.
so that I'll know, but two of our board members have also been in the EBDA Commission for several years following the progress. So we've gotten regular reports of what's going on with cargo. So we're not, oh, except we have a board member who perhaps doesn't know as much, but those more now. So we appreciate your coming by, and I understand you're off to catch a plane or something, going to the
No,
cold.
I'm back in Minnesota. I don't need to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Just get home
That's great. Okay. All right.
before the
So
snow comes.
I'm sorry. So, Mr. Deng, you want to make a comment?
Yeah, I just want to add that, as some of you know, Cargill has been exploring different alignments from their salt ponds up to the Marina Decor facility. They've reached a point where they felt this alignment through our property may be most feasible, and they mentioned least costly and most constructible. That's where they pulled me in to say, hey, is there a potential partnership here? And so that's why this came up to the board level. So staff is seeking direction from the board, even through a thumbs up, to continue the conversation with Cargill to develop any answers to any questions that the board may have, and to basically continue giving staff authority to spend more time with them to develop more of an idea, whether it's a financial piece, easement, whatever questions the board has, we can bring those answers back.
Working.
So my question is, how will this impact our operations, negatively, positively, just kind of overall, briefly?
If they keep everything in the pipeline underground in the alignment that's shown, it won't impact us. The only part that may be temporary, which hasn't been figured out yet, is the 200-foot portion that they may elect to reinstall, or instead of going that route, performing a horizontal directional drill, which essentially is drilling a brand new pipe under the entire piece of land and coming up on the other end, which won't impact us at all. So there would be some temporary disruption, if you will, but it's on the edge of our EQ basin. And I don't, without having full design drawings, we don't know the full impact yet. But we're definitely trying to maintain our operation during that construction time.
We'll try to maintain. Is that what you just said?
We'll maintain and
Yeah.
manage.
Okay.
We don't want to, we don't expect any long-term impacts.
Okay. Are there any financial implications for us, either positive or negative, related to this project?
That's the next part of the discussion to carry further with Cargill, is what that financial piece looks like if we granted an easement, if we sold them the Shell pipeline. So all those things are still has not been ironed out without direction from the board to me to continue the discussion.
Excellent. Thank you. Anything else? I'm done. Good for them. Yeah, I have quite a few questions always. But my first is around your presentation, Mr. Brown. You were talking about the magnesium and salt. Could you just say a little bit more? I'm just
I can talk to that a little bit, Don. So the
Sure.
magnesium is in seawater, of course.
Right, that I
It's
know. It's a
small.
mineral. Yeah.
Yeah, it's in a small quantity, but as we concentrate it and we pull the sodium chloride out, you're left with more and more by volume magnesium until it gets to the very end of the process. It's like a third magnesium chloride. So that's a product that we sell.
Okay,
We call
that's
it dust off is the trade name,
okay.
or some of it gets sent back to where Don's at in Minnesota, and they put it on the roads in the winter.
Okay, I was wondering if that's what I'm taking every day.
It's not from our plant.
Okay, then. All right. And then my other question is, you
Let me
said
get you some.
it's okay. I don't know. So how long has this big pile of brine been there? I know you said 2 years, but it's been there a while, hasn't it?
With us. Yeah, the salt ponds been here. Salt ponds have been there since the 1850s.
No.
They've been building up. Oh, the pile that you
The
saw in the
brine. I mean,
the accumulation of the mixed sea salt.
about 50, 60 years since the
Okay.
70s.
So there's been a problem that long.
Yes.
Okay.
The company's worked on numerous iterations of various solutions. Pumping to the waste treatment outfall seems to be the most environmentally benign, since it goes back to the ocean where it came from. And there's such a great source of fresh water coming out of the treatment plant that if we had to do it on our property, we'd have to bring all that water in, and it wouldn't really make sense like it does up here.
We can't reverse it on the pipeline. It's a bad. I guess my question, thank you. My question is directed at either Alex or to Jimmy. What is our relationship with the shale pipeline?
So we own back when we built the horizontal levee, we purchased the Shell pipeline between the south end of our ponds all the way to the north end where Grant Avenue ends. So that entire pipeline is wholly owned by us.
Okay, so we didn't have to have any interaction with them
That's correct.
at all. And so how deep is the
Pipeline. You guys did
mm-hmm.
the
It was about 10 feet down when we've dug it up on the south end, and it's probably a little more shallow as you get to Grant Avenue. I think there must have been dirt added over the years to the settlement, to the drying ponds out there, about 10 foot down.
Okay, and then I guess my other question is, it's been a while since I've been on at the board, so you'll have to remind me. So I know this has been like a marathon project, okay? And I guess my question is, how would, and maybe Alex will weigh in on this. So how will our relationship, if we decide to have a relationship with Cargill, impact the relationship that we have as a joint powers association
Yeah.
agreement, rather?
My expectation is that it wouldn't directly. So EBDA will have an operating agreement with Cargill for the connection and the discharge of the salt, but they are also entering into agreements with the and overseers of the pipeline. So for example, when they were looking at a street alignment, they were negotiating franchise agreements with the cities. So this would be akin to that Cargill would have a direct relationship with Ora Loma for that segment. That would be a separate agreement from the agreement that EBDA has with Cargill.
And I guess the reason I was looking at you is that since we are joint powers and the pipeline goes to various cities, how is the coordination of that as well as, whatever agreement? I guess it would be the individual attorneys that work through whatever that is.
Yeah, so we are our relationship with them as Ora Loma would just be for this segment, and our agreements would just be related to this relatively pretty small segment of the overall pipeline. And then, through EBDA represents us because from them to EBDA and their larger negotiations with Cargill. But there's presumably other private property owners along the way they are negotiating with
And the
separately.
reason I said that is I remember how what a challenge it was for us to even get the JP, everyone, because of all of these agencies, have their own
So none
self-interest.
of EBDA's other members are involved in this agreement or will be involved or have any say
So the
in
pipeline
this
doesn't go,
agreement.
it only goes through our property.
What?
You're the only ones that own a segment of
Yeah.
it. Shell and Air Products own the rest of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
So
we're trying to purchase from Air Products, from Shell. We'd like to purchase the 0.4 miles from Ora Loma.
is
The pipeline is flowing someplace through USD's territory, but it's not on property
okay.
USD owned.
That's where I was
Right.
trying to get a
It goes up New York City
clarity
Boulevard.
because of I mean, it was took us forever to get the JPA, and it'd be another 20 years for us all to agree if we had to agree on what the relationship.
Well, and there may still be aspects like that.
I'm just.
For example, the EBDA members have had some discussions but have not come to agreement on how the revenues from this project will be shared among the EBDA members. So there are still some intra-EBDA conversations to be had, but that's really independent of this agreement between Ora Loma and Cargill.
Okay, and my other, just, this is not a question, just my other thought processes around this is, you know, the challenge that we have with East Bay Mud and all of that. I'm just very, I shouldn't say gun shy, but just very hesitant. So that's where I sit right now, and I'm glad we don't have to make a decision. Thank you, Dr. Lee.
Well, thank you for the presentation. And, you know, definitely the goals of adaptation, resilience, and sustainability is important. And you got 50 years of brine that really needs to be resolved. I had a question, actually. On December 31st, 2022, we had one of the heaviest storms ever. What happened to the brine on that day?
We're able to discharge back to the bay in like an emergency event, okay. But not from those ponds. We
yeah.
flow
we
the brine backwards. We basically let out the weakest brine.
Okay.
So like where we intake in Alameda Flood Channel, mm-hmm. we'll discharge there, and we did. I think it might have been during that storm. We have also done it in Mowry Slough, but those are like the intake. So basically everything gets pushed backwards in the system.
Yeah, I think the reason why I asked the question is obviously that was one of the most challenging days for Ora Loma, you know, and obviously we want to make sure that we have sustainability. We also want to have, you know, contingency plans because I think the it exceeded our capacity that day.
Okay.
And, you know, I believe in partnerships, right? Partnerships have to have a shared goal. Right. Sounds like we haven't discussed that yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think it's important that when we move forward is how do we mutually benefit each other, even in a situation where we have to apply to FEMA, working together with Cargo.
Okay.
And just to be clear, directly, if in a storm condition, mm-hmm. EBDA will have the right to tell Cargill to stop discharging.
Okay.
Because it's not a 24-7
right.
operation,
right.
they can just cut the pumps and
right.
not send us any brine if we don't have the capacity for it.
No, no, absolutely. And I think those are things that will be part of the agreement that you're going to have in the future. And, you know,
absolutely,
so that's
yeah.
very encouraging. When we look at a million MGD, right?
Yes.
What, a million MGD.
A million gallons per day.
One MGD, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's roughly about 3 acre feet, right? And so in a year,
yeah.
we're talking about, you know, 1,000 acre feet, a little more than 1,000 acre feet. That's
mm-hmm.
quite a bit, but it's going back to where it belongs, right? And I
right.
see some positive, you know, I would like to see where that discussion takes it,
mm-hmm.
but obviously, I want to make sure that whatever we work on
mm-hmm.
is mutually beneficial to all our agencies on sustainability. Yes.
Is that it?
That's it. Thank
okay.
you.
Anybody else think of anything else you want to ask?
Yeah, I did. I just look from the...
Well, then I'll ask my question. Mm-hmm. And you think,
okay.
You think of it, let me know. I'm just curious, when did the gas pipeline stop operating? You said 98?
96.
96. Do we know, I don't know if anybody in this room, maybe Jackie, would know if there were ever any issues with the gas, when the gas was coming through that pipeline? I mean, it's always been under our property, right? We didn't like just acquire the property where the gas pipeline was. So we must have had an agreement with Shell to have that pipe under our property to start with. So
yeah.
I'm just curious if there would ever been anything with subsidence or movement of the ground or whether we've ever had any issues with that pipeline.
Not that I've been aware of, at
right.
least my 15 years here.
No, I don't know if anybody's still here who was here in 96. I was, but I was over there. Okay, well, that was, I just want to know if there were any issues with the pipeline. And it, do we have an option to offer leasing pipeline versus selling it? That would be one of my questions that you should explore. And I think I'm hearing that everybody's okay with us exploring all of our options and giving them direction to have more discussion. Is that correct? Because obviously it's an important issue. And I too like the sustainability. And I also like the fact that you don't have to tear up a sparing bull farm. I think that would be a major issue for you. You might not get that done till 2040. So,
Well, and there's one other point I wanted to make that
yes.
using the pipeline, there's a company we've been working with in Texas that has a product that they can pull up to 2 miles at a time.
That's the
So,
quick line in.
yeah. And
That's
so
the
we could start like way down at
right.
West Winton Road and pull it all the way to Oro Loma. We don't have to touch the marsh. We're just underneath it. We're done in like 2 days.
Yeah, I heard that on one of our meetings.
So there's
Yeah.
very little impact.
So I remember it, and thank you because you prompted. It was about the lining. We just had a kind of a disaster in one of our pipes regarding a lining. And so when you say it's slick and it can work, what?
How's it different? Or
Yes.
yeah, so it's a polyethylene liner, but it's three layered, and the center layer is it's a fabric. We could send you information on it. They actually make it on site as they're pulling the pipe in. We went down to Houston to see them actually perform this in October. They have a polyethylene pipe. They wrap it in a fabric, and then they have straps for pulling it. They put fiber optics in it for leak detection and for telecommunications, and then they put a second, or really a third layer over the end of it. And it's good to, I think, I forget the API spec, but it basically can be used for gas or fuel transmission lines. It's good all the way to 1400 PSI. So it's very strong. It's not like a cast in place where it's like a sock and they glue it or
Right.
hover that.
That's
That's different.
well. That's what I was envisioning, and
No.
that's
This, they're going to set up a fabricating site and they'll build it. And over a course of several days, they'll pull it in and until it's done, and then they don't have to touch it after that. But you've got leak detection in it, and you've got telecommunications, which is beneficial. So if there's something that was to start to leak, you can see it with an ultrasonic sensor. It's not just a pipe that you'd have to visually inspect.
I worked for Reichen, who did leak detection with all the shale refineries. So I'm familiar with the process. So my last question is really directed to you, Jackie. So when they pull all of the brine and then it goes through the shale of pipe and then it ends up, and then what? How is that going to impact,
So initially they were going to connect actually here at the Oro Loma pump station, the prior iteration of the project. One of the things when they determined that that street route wasn't going to work and they were kind of revisiting approaches, we said, hey, it would really be helpful if you could take the brine all the way to San Leandro to the Marina de Cor facility. And the reason is that way we don't have to worry about any impacts from that salt on that segment of pipeline or on the de Cor facility itself. So the idea is that they'll connect basically in the vault. So if you're standing at Marina de Cor across the bike path, there's a vault where our outfall starts. That's where the connection would be. So they wouldn't be putting salt into our pipeline until it's actually in a place where it's enveloped in salt anyway. We do have in our current NPDES permit provision to accept the brine. We're about to start the process of reissuance of our permit, and so we'll be kind of reconnecting with the water board about how that looks and any changes that are needed with this new connection point because it's downstream of our monitoring, but I think that's actually a benefit to EBDA. And yeah, so yes.
That was my other question. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Director Duncan. Good questions from all of you.
One more
And yes,
question.
Director Lee.
You don't have to provide the information today, but I'd just like to know more about the fiber optics. You probably have
Is it true?
sensors in there to help
Yeah,
you
they're
with it.
woven in.
How many strands of fiber is
I
it?
believe it's five.
Okay.
And so
What
if you
is?
use one, you have four spares.
Okay.
And that's used in detecting leaks and that sort of.
It's actually a company by the name of OptiSense that does the technology. They've worked with Smart Pipe, who's also owned by partially by Enbridge. They're a pipeline transmission company in Houston, which that's like the center for gas pipelines in the country.
So is there ongoing monitoring of the whole system
Yes.
once it begins in,
Yeah,
you know,
24
when,
hours a day.
and
Yeah.
I think according to what I recall from our previous meetings, you don't really expect to start being able to operate till probably 2036,
Maybe a little bit sooner than that.
34 maybe.
I think we're saying 2031,
Yeah,
oh,
2030, 2031. Yeah.
well, you still have
Because
some.
this can be built because it's an existing pipeline that needs to be lined, the construction can happen faster than building a brand new pipe.
Correct.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
Less impacts. Yeah.
Makes sense. Okay,
Being
well,
one less
you
pushes.
hope.
Well, less than a city street's trench, you know.
Yeah, that's
That's
true.
tough.
Thank you, George. Director Dean
For Jimmy. And we don't have any anticipated future use for that stretch of pipeline.
No.
Okay.
Director Lee?
Oh, I just want to, if you can send some use case examples where that sleeve with the
Yeah,
fiber optics and
Tim.
sensors has been used. I'm
Sure.
just interested in reading about it.
Okay, we'll send you something. Great.
Okay, so I think we're all on the same page. We'll look for more information. And thank you, Mr. Brown and Mr.
IZ.
Heise,
Yeah.
and the other gentleman went away, Mr. Schott, Short Shots.
Yeah, Mr. Shaw.
Shots, I wanted to say shorts, shots. So we appreciate your coming and making your presentation.
Thank you for your time.
And good
Thank
luck
you very
digging out of all that snow. You live in
Thank you very
California.
much.
You lived in California, you'd be home now.
I'm actually based in California, but I'm just back here, so I picked the wrong time to come back east.
Perhaps. All right. Thank you very much to
Thank
all
you
of
all.
you.
Sure. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I think we have our driving directions.
All right. Thank
Thank you
you.
for having
Thanks everyone's
Thank you
time.
for thank you.
Safe travels.
You bet.
Anything else, Mr. Dang, on this issue?
Just so the board and I are on the same page, I will be looking at leasing versus selling options. Also send the technology of the pipe to the entire board and really just bring lots of options to the table, including potential numbers as well between each option. I'll be working with Jackie as well on this. So
Yeah, it
we will
sounds.
come back
It
eventually.
also sounds like it needs to come back sooner than later if they would start working on it. Okay, thank you very much. All right, we'll go back to our agenda.
Happy Thanksgiving,
Dana, thank
Jackie.
you. Here we go, everyone. Thank
Hey,
you.
Jackie, if
Oh,
you
that's
want
tempting, but
to.
I got packed. Okay.
Bye-bye. All right, good presentation. Okay, then we'll move on to our committee authority association reports. And the first one is from Deputy Duncan, solid waste.
Okay, I just wanted to scribbled all over this. Highlight one of the discussion points that we've had at the solid waste meeting that we will be working with WM to address some of the non-compliance issues with the multifamilies and the commercial businesses to see if we can come up with some solutions to help them be more compliant. I also spoke to, and I'll say this, with Timothy Burroughs, and I shared with him that we were really going to focus some attention on it. And he and his staff wants to be a part of it with WM because they have an issue with the non-compliance with many of the commercial businesses throughout Alameda County and area. And then my other question, Jimmy, Timothy Burroughs said that we have a technical advisor on stop waste, and it used to be, I guess, Mutacha is Janata going to pick up that or
Look into that. Let me look into that.
okay. And then the other, this kind of came up in the finance, but we hit a little bit on it in this solid waste meeting. The just some of the financials around the San Lorenzo Halloween party or event that we attended, you know, the cost over time, for the 600 touch points that we had.
Can you clarify that a little bit more?
Okay, I requested, it wasn't specifically at the solid waste meeting, but I did request that we get the cost of participating in the San Lorenzo Halloween party, what the cost is, overhead, the materials, whatever
So, like
giveaways.
all in one place instead of spread out, is
Well,
that what
just
you're
a
saying?
report. I mean,
Or
just
what did I
a
say? Okay.
financial report on this is the cost of us participating in this event. You know, number of participants, a number of our staff, overtime cost, that just so we can get a better handle on what it costs for us to participate in these events. And then the last item that I haven't brought up, but I'd like to have a discussion. It was on something that I mentioned at our last workshop, is that I really would like for us to start to gather data on the complaints that we get from a monitoring program, similar to how Country does. You know, he gathers, you know, with every interaction, he gathers information on whether it's our issue or if it's WM's, so we can see if there's any trends out there. So if we can get a complaint log. And what prompted me again was this letter from this, you know, Donna Loren. And did we respond to her?
Not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet.
Okay. And you'll copy us.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. So that's it for the stop waste.
Thank you very much.
Any
That wasn't the
questions?
stop waste. That was
Yes.
solid waste.
That's why it's my
Solid
brain. I've
waste.
had to flip
I'm
that.
sorry, Director Dean, question? Go
I
ahead.
do. So I'm just kind of curious if you have any information, more information for us about anything new we're doing in the schools, because I see it's still lists all the goal here is that all San Lorenzo and San Leandro Unified Schools have recycling or organics collection services. They receive program and services support. So I'm wondering, are we still in process with that? Because this, I guess this is like a twofold question because I want to know about that, but I also want to know if there's something that we could do that more effectively with data measures this indicator here, that how we're measuring this goal. Because when I read that, I think, you know, I was at Arroyo High School the other day, and that's a San Lorenzo school, and it's a disaster over there. So if you could talk a little bit about those two things.
Well, your point is well taken, and I would agree with you that with some of our goals, we need to, when we have it, you have data to show why it's in the green. As far as if we're in the schools and all of that, Jimmy's going to have to respond to that because I know Terry is just getting started. So perhaps we should have put that yellow.
That's what I was
That
thinking.
that's a good point. I didn't sometimes I'm so automatic looking at that. But you brought up a good point.
Yeah, because I know she's getting started and I know the program's going to be great, but I think we also need to do an accurate assessment.
As we turn. Jimmy, you want to have anything to add?
To clarify, the participation has to do with the school subscribing to our services. So we do know that we pick up X times a week on trash, garbage, recycling, and organics at each different school. So some schools have different levels of service, some are only 2 weeks. 2 days a week, some are 3 days a week, so maybe 4 days a week. That depends on how much material they generate. So that's the comp that is the 100 participation piece of schools, organics and recycling, that they subscribe and then we provide service to them on a weekly basis.
So it doesn't matter if they're doing an F minus job, we can still give ourselves a green because we're doing what we need to do.
In this case, the goal intent is to make sure that they have service, and they do.
I thought we were going to be bringing in a new program with the schools.
We are, but this goal, we are absolutely. We're talking about, there's lots of items we're dealing with, potential MOU with the schools, the entire district as a whole. That's nothing else planning on providing at the next solid waste meeting. There's also the assemblies that we're still working on to try to educate students. All of that is outside of this goal of making sure that they have service.
And where would we see that goal?
That goal isn't in here currently, but doesn't mean we're not working on it. It's something we want to work on. It's something that we've gotten direction from the board to work on. So we're doing that, but it isn't a current goal.
Can
And maybe the confusion is we're looking at services, all of our services, and maybe just saying 100% participation and of them having the utensils and stuff, you know. So, and we can look
so can we add it as a goal?
well, we want to, can you give this assignment to us to relook at this in the solid waste committee to make sure that the verbiage reflects what we're saying that we're doing so it's not confusing. And then as we Tara gets on board and we get a little bit more so, you know, I should say meat on the bones as far as our outreach and stuff, and that we develop a metrics to measure whatever it is, similar to what Jimmy is saying. Does that make sense, Jimmy?
doesn't make sense.
So
Please.
I think part of the if I can just jump in since I'm a member of that committee, part of it may have to do with the strategic goals, meaning that when do we redo the strategic goals? Because the original strategic goals is what we're talking about here. And these original strategic goals didn't have anything to do with going into the schools. It had to do with providing the service. That's what we're required to do by 1383. We, the Solid Waste Committee and the board, has added additional things we'd like to do. Area, I guess, for Terry and the staff will be working on. But what's on that list is the strategic goal of 100% service. And the service refers to what's required by 1383, which is picking up, giving them cans and picking them up. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes total sense, but you know, we all know that I don't know, it's not doing what's intended by 1383, right? Which is to increase recycling of organics and recyclable materials, right? To reduce waste to the landfill, right? That's what 1383 is about, and it's about education. So I understand that our strategic goals don't say that, but I just felt like I had to say something about this. And then my other question is, I only see unified school districts. I don't see anything about all the private schools or any of the schools that might be in Hayward or Castro Valley. So can we speak a little bit about somebody on the committee or Jimmy?
I think we have to decide whether all of that is in the Solid Waste Committee report, which is all we're reporting on here tonight. But I appreciate your comments, and we should, as Rita said, send those back to the committee for further discussion so that it ends up in our report. Then we can discuss it at the board meeting.
But we did have a conversation about the schools, and that's when I was told that we had 20.
22. I think it was 22.
Right. So I don't know if that got
It's in the report, 22
right.
schools.
Right. And that we do not provide services to Hayward.
Not to the Hayward Unified School District, no, but that's what that meant, was it?
Right. Yeah.
Am I allowed to ask why we don't do that?
Because they're not in our district.
They are. They are.
They have us.
They are.
We provide sewer service to them. We just don't provide garbage service to them because they're under the Hayward Unified School District,
yeah.
And they have service through the city of garbage service.
Right, but they didn't have service. So that was my question because somebody on the school board called me up and asked me about it.
Well, and so their school district, they're not bound by our requirement to collect service by our franchise agreement. So they can choose who their local government, they can choose who they get service from. They've chosen all of their service, all of their schools to get service from
Tri-Sed.
From whoever the Hayward provider.
Mm-hmm.
So if
Tri-Sed.
That board members should be talking to themselves. Like they've made that choice.
Well, you know, some people just got elected and some people have been there for a long time. So, you know, I felt like I want to answer people when they ask me a question. I'd like to be able to answer them. All right. So, but we do provide sewer service to these four schools that are Hayward Unified. The high school, the two in Fairview, and Cherryland Elementary School, correct? All right. All right. We just don't provide recycling. Isn't that sad? All right.
I learned something today, so I'm glad you asked the question.
No,
because I didn't know that we provided sewer services to them as well. So, yes, Dr. Wayne.
Well, I'll just make a comment. You know, if you mentioned finance, I'll cover it in finance.
Yes, you can, and you perhaps should, because we've now spent enough time. We could have read the entire report.
No, it's okay.
But those are important questions.
Not important. No, I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about the fact that she was trying to keep it short. But
good luck.
I appreciate the questions, Nini. I thought they were all very relevant, and it gives us more thought for our next solid waste committee meeting.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll move on into the important personnel committee, which is me. And much of what is in the personnel committee report is on our agenda today. There you go again. So I am not going to read this report. I will simply ask if you have questions because most of the active authorized staff to take policy to the board is on our agenda tonight. So questions on personnel? Oh, good. All right. So we'll move on then to the construction committee. And that would be Christine.
Yay. The only thing that I really wanted to highlight on this was our new glass front to our building.
Mm-hmm.
And both Director Simon and I brought up the idea that I asked why the glass door is not being kept closed during the day. And because I was in there one day and only one person was in the building. And it just didn't feel safe to me. So I was like, why did we spend all this money on this beautiful glass door? But it's open. And I get it that like the intent was at night, but I was thinking, but I'd like someone to explain to me, us, how difficult it is for people to go in and out of that door. Like, I saw it has a punch key thing. Can you have cards? Is it really difficult for people to have to use that door to go in and out? And how many times are people going in and out that door every day that it's a hindrance to have those doors shut just for safety? Because I was thinking, all right, who's responsible for safety? Isn't it you? Yeah. So I just want to be clear, like why we think we don't need to have the glass door shut when we did spend a lot of money on that beautiful glass door. That's all. If somebody could speak to that, that'd be awesome.
I didn't know it wasn't shut, because when I voted on it, I was in the construction committee, and I thought it was going to be shut all the time because, you know, accidents, safety things just don't happen at night. And I thought it was going to be shut, period. And so I don't know why it isn't, period.
Yeah, so the doors have multiple options. One is you can have it fully closed, you can have someone buzz in, you have someone have key cards for employees, especially.
Mm-hmm.
All those options. We did discuss the people who are going to be managing the doors, which is essentially three of our main staff in the office, and they felt okay with the way it's being programmed currently, or the program that it's on currently. That can change any day. So if they felt unsafe, they're the ones that are operating it. Change it anytime you want. So maybe have it closed during business hours and have it so that everyone has to buzz in. Those are all options.
But could you explain? I understand all that. That was already explained, like in the meeting. My question is, how hard is it to use a punch? Like, what's the hindrance that makes people feel like they don't want that door shut? Do we have like 20 people coming to Oro Loma a day? Like, is it like, are people like having to stay at their desk to like open that door? I don't, so I want some details. I want some data to support keeping that door open.
Yeah, so we don't have enough data on the front door yet, but definitely for the gate, which is closed all the time, that varies. So we have a ton of deliveries. We constantly have to have someone at the phones. If we don't have any deliveries or any visitors, then there could be no phone calls. So it varies. That's kind of the best answer I can give you related to how often it gets opened.
Go ahead. What kind of deliveries do we have?
Here
Yeah.
we have Amoco, we have Amazon,
And
we
they
have
all get
West.
delivered to the front office?
No, they get delivered to a plant as well because there are two addresses. There are 2655 and 2600.
Right. So I don't understand how that affects the front door.
What I'm saying is, I don't have enough data for the front door to know how many people visit the front door because we've never had a system that monitored people coming in at our front door. We do have a system for the front gate. So that's the data I'm providing you as far as how many visitors come to the plant, at least.
Do we have a sign-in sheet when people come to the office? Is that data that Patricia would know? Like, are there 10 people a day coming to our office? 20, 50?
Oh, it's an average of 10,
10.
sometimes less, sometimes more. And then staff coming in and out, obviously, that's
But
a
they
high
would have a but
number.
they would have a they would have
So
a card and they
public,
would have a code.
strictly public, an average of 10 a day. And of course, that can vary.
Is it possible to use a key card?
I'm just so confused because I thought the reason we spent all this money was for our safety concern
Correct.
and for us for the decision to be made to just leave it open. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me if the goal was to keep people safe and make sure that odd people could not be just wandering in and coming out. And so I'm con I that concerns me. I'll just say that. And it's our responsibility to keep staff safe.
The primary goal is exactly that, to keep staff safe, but it was mainly for after hours. Because during, I'm just explaining,
Okay.
during the daily hours, there's a lot of people here in engineering and in admin. So people are perfectly comfortable leaving the door open for guests, public to come in and interact, whatever it is that they need. It's after hours when we had the incidents that we were trying to protect staff from. After hours, people are gone. There may be one or two people that are still here that are working by themselves and want to make sure that they can get from the building to their car safely in a secured space. And after hours is when those doors close and lock, and you can't get in unless someone lets them in.
I just see it as us thinking that only unsafe things happen only at night. To me, it's not very proactive. I mean, if we have it and we can make sure that people are secure 24/7, that's what I thought we invested the money in, not just for after hours. And I thought we also took into consideration EBITDA as well. And the reason we did all of that stuff with the engineering is so they didn't have to go out, with the ramp and all of that. Maybe I'm not understanding it, but
Director Young, or President Young, can I just add one?
Oh, please go ahead.
Just to give you like background of maybe because it wasn't like a Bill or Jimmy saying, hey, you want this? We were thinking to have it open. Are you guys comfortable with that? It was more of like this is your choice as the people managing the door. So I will be super transparent, saying it was myself, it was Lacey, it was Maria, along with our managers, and asking us what is your preference. And I think the mindset is that between maybe 10 or so calls, there's more than 10 a day for gate mostly. We have lots of grease deliveries, chemical deliveries, regular deliveries, people coming in for meetings. So those can go anywhere from 15 to 20, plus the phone calls coming in, just from the 276-4700 number, it's a lot to manage. So our preference, and it was a unanimous decision, was to please leave it open for it to be one less thing to manage. But of course, we're at the will of the board, and we appreciate the concern for our safety. So that can be revisited and brought up for a discussion again. But I do want you to know it was a unanimous decision made by the people who would be managing opening the door and taking the calls. And, it was the mindset that we already take about 25 to 30, sometimes more calls in a day between the gate and the general line. And that was the background there, and that's the context, if that helps you at all.
Well, it concerns me a lot, because we're responsible for your safety.
Yeah, no, we appreciate
And it's not for the convenience. If you need more staff, say that. If it's that much of a burden. I just have, I hate to draw upon my HR experience and just some of the things that I thought never would happen. Somebody walking down and, coming and attacking some of my employees, people that had nothing to do with our business, but was able to access not even our buildings, but our property. And so that is my concern, and that we are responsible for you and your safety. And if it's that big of an issue, I thought we were getting more staff with the my favorite project, the lateral program, to spread the wealth. But I wanted you to know I hear you.
Yeah, just wanted to provide the context. But
Okay.
we, of course, appreciate the concern for our safety, and we feel valued in that. Thank you.
So I have a question. Does the system collect data on how many times and how many people go in and out of that door all the time, all day long? So does some infrared thing read that there's somebody coming, going all the
No.
time?
The calls are monitored.
The calls, yes, but if it's open, then no. You walk in and out.
It doesn't seem to me that it would be difficult for people to wear a card key around their neck and just slide it when they want to go in and out. But if they're going in and out a lot, I don't know, does when EBDA comes in from the parking lot, do they have to have
No,
a
this doesn't affect staff at all. It's only for the public. Because staff is going to be in the plant so they can walk behind the engineering building up
parking
the
lot?
ramp.
Right,
Correct.
exactly. So it's just for people. So I guess, okay. So if you don't keep track of how many come and go, well, but you guys go in and out, but I guess you just only go out if you're going to lunch or something. Okay. All right. So that was a bad idea. Well,
No, it doesn't. I think
no,
it's an excellent. I think it's an
not
excellent.
just about the data, whether or not
Oh, I thought
point
you were saying a
the
card key to me is that.
is a good
Yeah,
idea.
we
It's
do.
just a question of whether.
Well, the other thing, Sheila, kind of well, bouncing off what you're saying is, so maybe we could close it for a while, keep it open for a while and see how it goes. Close it for a while and see how, if it is annoying and what the impacts are. I just feel like just saying, let's just leave it open without seeing what the impacts are of having it closed.
This is so interesting. I thought the purpose of us getting the darn door was for safety.
You're right.
And so how can you be safe if you're keeping it open? I mean,
Right.
that's like, but everyone has their perspective. And I just think it's what I understood when in the construction meeting was that the door was going to be there to prevent the public from being able to come in. And without, someone knowing. So, I have an issue with it, with this one person.
So perhaps you can try some suggestions like Mimi had for closing and opening, just check it and see and maybe figure out whether it's worth it to deny our constituents the right to walk by. Anyway, it's a good question. I think my thought originally with the whole money that we spent on the project was to enclose the parking lot. I didn't really give much thought to the glass doors. But like,
well, I was in the construction.
Well, so was I.
And it, well,
at one point, I was.
I know, but I'm just saying that it's okay.
When you guys discussed it, I just discussed the parking lot. I didn't think about the door, so it's good you brought it up.
Is there any that land? Is it only a landline that you answer for those phone calls, Patricia? When the deliveries come?
So we have a separate phone system that's just for the gate, and now has the added function of the front doors as well.
And is it a mobile phone or is it a?
It's a stationary phone on our desks, and it has like a little screen so we can see exactly.
Okay.
Who is there, and we have an app as well. On our cell phones.
So there is, because that's what I'm thinking is if there's some way that this could be mobile so you're not tied to your phone, your desk. I just feel like there's a lot of pieces that we could explore and to keep everybody safe. I didn't feel safe that day when I was in there and Liliana was the only person in there. There was nobody else in the office. And I just felt like anybody could walk in here. And, you know, being a teacher, right? You know how teachers feel, you know what happens at schools. So.
And it is a very dangerous time.
Yeah, it's being an HR director that I've had.
Well, it sounds like you need to give a little more thought to.
We'll explore.
Thank you.
Explore so much.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much.
Anything else from construction? Anything else?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Benny? All right.
No.
I'm going to move to item 7.4. A report from operations, and Director Dean, I guess you're doing this one too.
So I had a little bit of an emergency and I did miss this meeting, right? November 20th, yes. But it looks like there was a mistake with PG&E billing us. So I just thought I'd point that out to everybody. And that's item 4 on the agenda. And Jimmy, did you want to talk about that at all, or
if the board wants you to fill them in, absolutely.
No.
Okay.
I just want to know when they're going to fix it.
That's a very good question. I wish I had that answer too.
Okay, that's all I want to know.
But we are working.
Okay.
Well,
or just
we may owe them money.
We owe them money.
It's possible.
No.
Okay, that was all I want to.
As with anything with PG&E. We're kind of on
our fingers, crossing all body parts.
But we are on the radar.
Okay. So that's all I wanted to talk about with that report. Thank you.
I'll make one comment.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm still trying to make
I remember.
Wait, yeah. I don't even look at body anymore.
And it's just a comment on PG&E because Kim Sun's noodle bowl company, which is on Beecher, right, applied for the permit and they still have not gotten it. To underground, right? And that's 10 years.
Oh my God.
That's PG&E. So, and that's my comment.
Okay,
so we'll move on to the corporate insurance. And again, I'd like to compliment the finance committee for all the incredible work and done on this report or in the committee.
You know, so I'll keep it very brief, right? We went over the strategic plan and goals, right? We have one yellow, and that's probably because it coincided with. The audit work because I think Lily and team, right, were doing double duty working together with John Cropper and Associates as well as doing their normal work. So that one was late. In the discussion, she said she was going to look into how to get ahead of that next year. We talked about the cash balance reserves, asset changes in depreciation and waste management. Funds and outreach, the Fund 15 accounts, the Fund 20 travel training and insurance, solid waste fund, and overtime for Halloween event. And I did make a comment during that time. We did have a report, and I would probably ask staff to pull that report that showed the costs for those events that we did last year. I know that we didn't have the current cost, but share with the board so that way at least it sets a context because I recall that that report given to us in a prior agenda. Okay. And then food related experience and credit card use, we went through that, and I'll tell you, Director Duncan's always on top of that, right? And as well as the cash disbursements. Also attached are the sewer rates. It shows that we're less, we're on average less than more than half of the county, right? And the garbage rates, I think we're probably at the lowest rates. Those are attached. Any questions?
I'd like to make a comment since I was in the meeting.
Yeah.
I think one of the big things that we talked about, or either I mentioned, was the fact that the WM funds have $174,000 that we don't see it on our finances. Although it sits on their books, it is money that we have to use for education for 1383. And I felt that that should be maybe included in our reporting with an asterisk. That's telling us that. And also, I found out that Perla is 100% outreach for us, and that should be captured as well. It's like put it like a consultant.
What does that mean? She's 100%.
She does the commercials, and she does the multifamily outreach.
She's salary is paid for that.
Waste management. She's paid through waste management. But she does 100% of what? One, not 100%. I don't think was it 100%.
So 100% of her pay comes
From waste management, but then she services Oralo and sanitary district.
So they pay her, but she helps us.
Yes.
Well, is that part of our franchise agreement?
Yeah.
Maybe you can tell us how that works.
Part of our agreement is that WM needs to provide a outreach coordinator, dedicated outreach coordinator to Oraloma. So in the agreement, it states that Perla, in this case, all she does, even though she gets paid by WM, works on behalf of Oraloma to educate and provide outreach to multifamily customers and commercial customers.
Does Hogan come out of our portion of the franchise fee? I mean, they're paying her, but it's...
No.
Part of the contract. So you're
part of the contract.
That's what I was
WM employee.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
She's a WM employee. And you're saying 100% of her job is
outreach.
The outreach for the multifamily and the commercial? That's 100% of her job.
Correct.
What kinds of things do we that's something for probably a different time to find out what that entails.
Yeah, we can pull the language from the franchise agreement.
But the whole reason for bringing this up again is and you may remember me saying this, Benny, is that, you know, if we really want to see the cost of our running our business, we need to know what all the elements are, including if money sits on WM, you know, for us, and if Perla is doing work for us. I mean, that means that we need to understand the cost of doing business and providing services and where we get our funds and our money from. And that's why I asked the question.
So I'm not sure I understand this piece. So waste management pays for salary, but they do it pursuant to the contract and she works 100% for us. So her salary is not coming out of our fund. Is that correct?
Correct.
But I understand your point about the $174,000, which should be reported in our books. But if she works for them and they're paying her, I don't understand why that should be on our.
None of it is on our books. But we somehow should capture that. We have two people now doing outreach, not just, you know, it's not period.
I don't know that the new person for us, Terry, will be doing commercial.
No, I'm not saying that.
I'm just asking.
I'm just saying part of the, we have outreach efforts by two people.
Right.
And who directs their work and all of that stuff. I think running a business, you need to. And as I said in the meeting, I'm not that concerned about what Perla's getting compensated for or whatever. But I think it's something, if you're wanting a business, you should know that we have 100% person, in-kind contribution, however you want to terminate, whatever terminology you want to use. That gives you a complete picture of what it takes to run the Orlando Sanitary District.
Got it. Director Daly, you're
All the points are very well taken. I think what's important for us to see is their activity plan and activity log, because that tells us the value that we're going to get
Thank
back.
you. Excellent, Ben.
Yes.
I just,
Yeah.
as I was looking at
I was just
the,
trying to simplify
well,
it.
you, well, no, you said it in your way, and I
Yeah.
said it in mine,
Yeah.
and
No,
there's
absolutely.
nothing wrong with it.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm good.
Yes. Any other questions on finance?
Because Perla does, but I see her at events that aren't commercial. So when she comes to events,
Yeah,
and
she
she
does
was at a
some
Royal
indoor
High School.
activities as well, which is there's a full list of things that she would provide, and I provide that to the Solid Waste Committee.
You have provided to them, or you're
No, I
going
can't.
to?
I want to. Yeah.
Okay, going to. Sounds great. I look
Activity
forward to
plan and
seeing that.
activity log. I
Thank
think
you.
that's going to help us.
I think I told the
That's
bird.
going to help us with the value that's provided
Yeah,
us.
we like value.
Mr. Dang has one other comment.
I just want to clarify that her activity is reported out every month at Solid Waste.
Okay.
She talks about how many customers she's talked to for the month, who she
Okay.
talked to,
What
what
you
she
did
did
for
for that
her.
month.
Okay.
Right.
True. But
Well,
I
Miss Jamie
understand,
Lavish.
No,
I
that's a
understand
third
Director
page of goals.
Dunham's comments,
Right.
but I think I agree with her. So
Thank you.
Yes.
It would be nice, and she was giving that to us in
Written
writing.
form, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't remember right now.
Yeah, we don't get it in written form anymore.
And then, to your point, I think it should be in writing.
Plan and
Mm-hmm.
law. Yes.
So it's in your minutes.
Okay.
Is that what you're talking about?
So we want to
I just want to
basically
clarify
like,
what.
so that's sort of like the log, right? But then you want to know what she's planning to do, like going forward too, right?
Well, yeah, I think.
I think we're getting way far away
Yeah.
from Finance
All right.
Committee.
Okay.
We should talk about this, Rita.
I'm okay with it.
At
I'm step that
Solid
direction.
Waste. I know.
Okay.
It's quite okay. I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah. Here we are now. It's already almost 6:30,
Okay.
and
Oh
we're
my
not even
God.
close to being
It's
through.
almost 7:30.
Yes. I'll
Oh,
be
that
very quick
clock's
on
seven
the next
o'clock.
one.
All right,
Unless
7:30.
anybody else has questions on
Nothing
finance.
else on finance? Okay. 7.6 report from Alameda County SDA.
Yes,
Director Lee.
we met on November 12th. We were at one of the facilities for ARD. It was hosted by ARD. The intro was done by James Wheeler, the general manager. They talked about all the programs, all the facilities, as well as the measure that was passed for them. It was a phenomenal presentation. I think the staff could probably provide that presentation. It tells you about all the different programs that they've done over the years since James Wheeler has taken over as GM. Great presentation. And Director Dean, I think you were there for
Yeah.
that part.
Okay.
And then the second presentation was from Alameda County's OES, Office of Emergency Services, by presentation by Brent Blazer, Emergency Manager for Alameda County OES. Basically he talked about the evolution in terms of the emergency services and the staffing that they have, the challenges that they have. I think for one of the counties in Port was just only three staff members, right? And for County of Alameda, there's a total of 14 staff members for the entire county. It was a great presentation. It's also attached. If you want a copy of that presentation, staff should have that. Otherwise, I can provide it to staff. And then we got the Alameda County's auditor's report on funds returned to special districts from post-redevelopment, the dissolution, presented by Paul Sethi. It was interesting just to see it because I remember being part of that, the agency that we were responsible for from San Leandro. I think San Leandro still has some outstanding funds in other cities. There's just a few cities that have completely met their obligations. And outside of that, there was no presentation from LAFCO, I believe, right? And there was no presentation from the EDA and no updates on regional parks. The CSDA updates talked about, I think, SB 827, which is financial training. That's something that's going to happen at the beginning of the year, and it's going to be expected that training every 2 years, much like AB 1234. But this is going to be on fiscal and financial management,
Yay.
right? Outside of that, we have the next meeting on Wednesday, January 21st. It's going to be hosted at it's the host. We are the host, but it's going to be at the CV Sands new building. And then the annual dinner is Thursday, March 19th, at Wedgewood at Redwood Canyon Golf Course, like last year. Any questions?
Nothing from me.
No, I thought it was a good meeting, but I did have to leave.
I don't hear anything. Nothing from you, Director Beckham?
No.
Thank you. All right, then we move on to item 7.7, the report from Allegheny County Waste. Stop waste.
Okay, I attended the meeting on November the 19th. We had an update on SB 1383, the Organics Reduction and Recycling Ordinance, which took effect on January the 22nd to reduce the amount of food and compostable materials sent to the landfill. And the items that they covered, it was just informational update, was how they do the compliance and monitoring and enforcement, how the waivers and alternative compliances are held or offered, outreach, education, and technical assistance. They have a report on the edible food recovery outreach, inspection, and reporting, and how they do the record keeping and data reporting, and the organic waste procurement, and how the Cal Recycle compliance is evaluated, and then exploring other options and methods to improve the sorting. And then the other part of that was a report on reducing the contamination and the recycling and compositing streams. And the only thing that I can share this information with you, very, very, very educational. The only issue I have, and I always have an issue when they put numbers up, the unincorporated community is never included. There's never any data. And this is the kind of third time that I've talked to Tim Burrows about it. And so my question to you, Sheila, did they ever, while you were on the board, did they ever talk about any data for the unincorporated community?
All they ever told us was that there was no way to to pull it out of all the reports that they have, even though they have them for the cities, and they do give them to you for the cities, right?
Well, yeah, but
I mean, I don't know. All they ever did that I can recall was to give it reasons why they couldn't pull the data from the unincorporated.
well, he didn't.
He didn't do that.
Well, no, he didn't say that there was an issue pulling the data. He kind of just said that they,
But they
this
don't
is
do
me,
it.
never really thought about it.
Well,
And so, and the reason I brought this up again is because they have they're doing this composting program. They're reinvigorating it. And one of the things that they're doing is that they're reaching out to stables and horse boarding facilities in all of the cities, and to teach them how to compost the manure, which is really rich. And so I said,
I don't think there are any cities that have boarding
well,
horses, are there?
what is that?
Livermore,
What is
maybe.
that? What is that?
Okay.
No, the park in Oakland.
Nolan Park?
No, there's another one. They do have horses.
Oh.
Well, Redwood Regional has up on up on Skyline,
But
yeah.
they were the
Yeah.
yeah they have they do have some
Okay.
and And I told them that we had quite a few in Fairview.
Oh,
Right.
I didn't
And
know
quite a few.
that.
In fact, it was one of the major discussions around in one of our MAC meetings. But so he's going to reach out to them.
So what kind of data is it that you're looking for from the unincorporated?
Well, how they're working with us to do
Well, I'm
all
just asking.
oh, I know, but how they're working with the unincorporated communities for the gardens and all of those things that they do. And how many food recovery places are there in the unincorporated community? They have numbers for all of the cities, but none for
I thought they put out a list of all the food organizations that produce or hand over the extra food. I've seen that list.
Yeah, but it's anyway, they are going to focus on it, but and that was my main issue with the reporting is that we were not part of it.
Virtually.
Well, then thank you for sharing that. And, I think a future initiative for them should be to work with the county to do an open data initiative for all the different regions. So that way we have information that can be leveraged, used, right, and tapped into for innovation. That's it.
Because they do a lot of school programs and stuff. And anyway, I think he heard me. So I think.
Director, Dr. I don't know,
Dean.
maybe after a whole year meeting, I'll be able to do this.
It's coming up.
I know it's
It's
coming
coming
up,
up.
yes.
Yes.
So I'm hearing you say that they work with a lot of schools. So I know that, like, for instance, Cherryland Elementary School. We don't serve them our recycling. But what I'm hearing from you is Stop Waste has all these programs. I was at that school today and I got to see their amazing gardens and all the food that they're growing and all the families that they're taking care of and all this great things they're doing in their community. And so I'm just trying to figure out, I get it, we don't provide recycling and composting, but
Stop Waste can, right?
yeah, this is a way for us to maybe take a look at this school. This school looks like I was very impressed with the school
And I just
just what's going on over
and
there.
I think that they would with open arms would like our help identifying how to connect it. I mean, because he wanted me to give him the name of someone he could reach out to that owns a stable, and I told him I would. But so yeah,
So let's, I'll talk,
okay,
yeah,
and
let's talk
that's
about
good.
that later. Sounds good. Sounds
Very
great.
good.
Okay. Woo! All
Yeah,
right. Moving right along, it was 6:32. Pretty good. All right, so 7.8 is a report from the State of Treasurers. And most of our board meetings centered on Cargill, which you've already heard the report on. I'll just tell you that generally speaking, in the Finance Committee, which I'm on, shows that we are at 25% of the year. Our budget is only 25% spent. And I think we're in the second half of the fiscal year. No, we start in June. So, well, but this is, it's almost December. We're only 25%. December and June would be, we're below budget. And the Operations Maintenance Committee reported that they completed the riprap restoration at Marina D. Florida. They have pictures of that, along with that facility vault that they talked about earlier, which was pretty darn open on the shoreline, but it's all been fixed. And the other status we talked about was the advanced quantitative precipitation information, commonly called the AQPI. They installed the last radar in November of just this past month. This month that we're in Marin County. And at some point, they're going to be coming to all of the agencies to discuss the sharing of the monies it will cost to operate this AQPI. So for all the agencies in the Bay Area. So I have a list of the groups that I'm thinking of norm right now. When it comes to us, we'll talk about it more. And then under regulatory affairs, the NPDS permit application is due in November of 26, and we've already started working on those for next year. And then recycled water at Sky West operated for 2 days, supplied 1.14 million gallons. And that's pretty much it. There's anything you'd like to know about your report?
2 days and 1 million gallons?
1.2. That comes from the Hayward recycled facility, but is managed by EBDA. But we're getting out of that business, I believe, aren't we? Yeah, so it'll all be Hayward will take care of it.
And when is that happening, do we know?
Soon, has to be soon, because we're down to, I think we're only supplying the ponds now.
That's right, yes. So we will stay with the ponds, or Hayward's going to take over?
Well, it's already Hayward's recycled water. So, and I don't understand how that works, but we manage it.
We provide the water to EBDA, and EBDA has the rights to sell it to Hayward, so that's what they do.
That's how it works. Anyway,
I'm just trying to keep those ponds full.
I think
keep those turtles happening.
Yeah.
All right.
Anything else? 7.8 is gone. I would 7.9 approval committee minutes for entry to district record.
Still moved.
By Director Lee, second by Director Duncan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion carries. Absent. Do you want to take a tiny break? Yes. So I think that
thank you. Water. Thank you so much.
And then we'll 5 minutes.
Yeah, I got to stand up.
So after a break, we are back and we'll move to item 1, which was reviewed by the personnel committee and was in your report today, but I'll turn it over to Mr. Dan.
Yeah, so today we want to propose particular changes to the travel policy in particular, and the changes have to do with the recent policy changes that Southwest has made. which says that the basic fare no longer includes seat choice. So now Southwest has four tiers of ticket choices that you can make when you purchase a ticket. Our policy never has it in the past because this policy didn't exist, address which fare that you would be reimbursed under. So to align with Southwest's new policy, the policy now has corrections that align with it, stating that now the board, and actually 8.1 and 8.2 are very similar, one's for the board and one's for the staff, that says that you will be reimbursed the choice fare, which means it used to be the basic fare that you had where you can go in and pick any seat that you would like, instead of the now basic fare, which is you don't get to pick a seat, they assign you a seat. That's the bulk of the change. And there was some cleanup language in there on a couple of things on apostrophes and spelling. But that is essentially the change to allow the new Southwest policy. The other thing I wanted to add was legal counsel did advise me that we still need to include an additional line that says it does not include any extras when you purchase your ticket, like extra leg room or preferred seating, things like that.
What about baggage?
Baggage is not, well, you have paper baggage now, and we would say that you would be reimbursed for the baggage because you're on a business trip, and we wouldn't expect you or an employee to pay for their baggage just because Southwest makes you pay for it.
So Southwest is the preferred airline?
Not necessarily. They happen to be the cheapest. But they're the only ones that have a different seating policy than the rest of the airlines. And so because most people have taken Southwest, you have a question.
No, I'm just thinking, I fly United and I'm thinking, they have the tiers, first class and all of that
Right.
as well. And then when I go to DC, I to Alaska because they have the only nonstop. And I'm just,
And you get to pick your seat.
yeah, but I'm just, when you, it looks like it was focused for Southwest and not a general.
Because so Southwest, you used to just buy the ticket, you got the letter, you went. They're now having assigned seats.
Under cattle call.
But the lowest economy fare doesn't include assigned seat. They assign it to you. So it means basically you'll get stuck with the middle, right? Like everyone else who's paying a little bit more will choose. We want the window, we want the aisle. And
I didn't know that.
if you don't pay for that extra amount, you're just gonna be stuck
I
with, they'll
love the
assign
drive.
you
Oh my
at
God.
check-in for whatever.
Okay.
Avoid
I think we should up it again. I mean, I don't think we should just be the luck of the draw.
Well, that's why we're saying
Yes.
you can pay for
I
seat
know.
assignment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which
That's
is
what we're saying in these
I
reviews.
know. I'm just saying. Oh, God. Sheila took me down that path. Anyway, okay. I'm good.
Anybody else have a question? Why we're doing this, we're doing it because of Southwest and their new policy. But I didn't know the new policy was if you take the really flat, lowest rate, they choose your seat for you. Well, I'm flying United with Rita.
Well,
We're
but
not
you
going
can
through
fly
all that.
the extra choice
You
fare.
got it. I
Yeah.
get it. What your document says is that we get the next level,
Right.
which is you get to pick your seat and pay for your luggage.
And I'm going
Okay.
to add, did not include any extras.
Okay. So, and that means you won't pay for our alcohol.
Well, or
Or...
like even within Southwest, there's like extra legroom seats you can pay
Right.
for. There's still economy, it's still the same seat, but you get extra legroom.
Right. Is lunch considered extra when you go to the East Coast?
No, that's separate on the meal. I mean, you get
Okay.
a
You get
meal.
the
So if it
meal.
happens to be
Okay.
on the airplane, like you get
Okay.
reimbursed through that.
Here, these are good. These are from Benny. Thank you. All right. So the recommended motion is to approve the amended compensation benefits procedure. I would entertain a motion.
So moved on 8.1
8.1.
and 8.2.
Well, one is for us and one is for the staff.
Yeah,
They're
the
identical.
language is the same. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
Let
on
me get one.
the
Yeah, so the only changes were in red.
Yes.
Right.
Perfect.
And but as I mentioned, I want to include a line that says, does not include extras like preferred seating or extra legroom.
All
So
right.
I will add those two upon
Okay.
approval from the board.
So
Okay.
move those
Good change.
amendments.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you move it?
Yes.
Second.
All right. So it's a motion and a second. I have a minor typographical thing which I will relate to somebody when the meeting is done. It's not a big deal. Just a little comma. Unless you want me to do it now. Okay. So we're clear on the motion. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion carries 4-0, 4-0 with one absent. All right, 8.3.
Yes. So this is a request to update the district secretary's job description and salary. The request is based on the fact that we have an outstanding employee that has achieved all her goals, all the work that she's ever given for the district and to the district, and more recently has taken on additional duties related to outreach, communication, and graphics development, as shown in the recent communications plan that the board approved back in July, June, July. So with this, the bulk of the changes include the position supporting the new community engagement outreach strategy. Let's see, and also attending events to back up and help our new community engagement and special and outreach specialists. Also take over the website as well, anything related to outreach. Along with that comes with a new salary schedule noted down on page 113 of 126, essentially netting a 10% increase for that position. And there's also a job description attached which shows those increments of additional responsibility. So that's my report.
So everybody,
I have a lot of questions. I have no issue because I think I would agree that she's doing an outstanding job. My only issue is that, if she's going to be helping with these and part of her responsibility, will she still get overtime?
Yes.
Okay, then my other comment is that if that's the case, I don't think she is should be going getting food. You know, we stepped up her job, and so you should not be the food monitor person, you know, driving. And I think if you're stepping her up and making her more professional, that she shouldn't be, you know, going to get lunches and stuff. But I would agree, I think she's done a great job, and she does it with a smile, and I appreciate that. So that's my comment.
Thank you for your comments.
So I don't know, Demi, do you hear me on that?
I do.
I'd like you to talk a little about these salary steps.
You'd like to what?
I'd like to know a little bit more about these salary steps.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that she's coming in high on one of these steps and not low. And I don't know if you're allowed to say.
So the general manager determines the steps and where to assign them. You know, in our, you know, with successful completion, what the policy says, you know, you go up each year.
Teachers go on steps.
Yeah.
So I know all about steps and moving over and columns and all that. I'm just thinking that for everything she does, I'm hoping she's step G.
Okay.
I mean, I just feel like she does a lot of stuff, and look at that's sorry. We got to keep the worker bees happy.
Dr. Duncan.
But as long as I said that she's not throwing anyone food, I'm okay. But my other, I shouldn't say it like that. My other comment is we never got to see the staff survey.
Right, it's coming. I mentioned the report will be here on December, and the report will be
right. And
presentation will be in January.
I know. I just think this is a little premature if we didn't see the whole staff survey. And
well, my comment to your comment is it's already doing the work.
Well, I
think we need to get it approved and moved in. Process.
Well,
that she starts in January.
Well, it's fine, but I'm from seeing a complete picture and then seeing where she fits in that picture. And not just her, but the other individuals, the other admins as well. So that's my comment.
Oh, I have no comment. We already reviewed this in personnel. We had our questions, and they were asked and answered, and it's all covered in the minutes.
Okay. Okay, then, well, 8.3 requires a motion, so I would be looking for a motion to approve.
I would like to move this item 8.3.
Thank you. Second.
Dean.
Thank you.
I was waiting for somebody else to take
it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion carries 4 ayes. Thank you, Director Duncan, for your consideration. All right, moving on. This hopefully will go fast. So 8.4, authorization for extension of a lease agreement. During oral on my KJ Woods.
Yes, this was discussed in construction committee meeting as well. There is an existing lot that is across the street on Grant that's to the east of the East Bay Mud parcel. It's about a little less than an acre that's been rented out to KJ Woods, a contractor of ours, for the last since 2009. And the lease has been extended in the past. The current lease, which is a 5-year lease, is expiring coming this new year, end of January. And KJ Woods requested that they can have an extension of another 5 years. We also reached out to the appraiser, the same appraiser, Newmark, that did the appraisal for the EBDA property. We also provided recommendations, which is noted here in the proposed annual lease, with a 3% escalator every year. So that's the ask of the community today if they would like to approve the extension of the land lease for KJ Woods.
Questions, comments, direction?
Did we have an issue with them?
For a long time ago, when they did some work for us, but we haven't had any issues with them the last
Have they done any work for us since then?
No.
Why we haven't had any issues? As long as we don't have to work with them, we can take their money.
Don't work that.
No pressure.
No pressure.
They don't listen.
That was my only question. I just remember with some drama with them.
Director Dean, you're on construction, so do you have any further questions?
I felt like we really talked about this item and gave it once over, and we felt like it was an appropriate thing to do to extend their lease.
Excellent. Director Lee?
I have no comments.
I would look for a motion to approve the report.
I do. I have one more comment.
Well, go ahead.
And I don't know through the chair, through Jimmy, and through and through Alex. Bill, what about these people? Are they okay?
They pay their bills.
Well, I don't know, but I would just remember we had some drama with them.
They're very Irish.
Ooh, and they are
fiery people.
So yes, 5 years ago we did have some drama with them, and that was all resolved. And over the last 5 years, they've actually been a fairly decent tenant,
Okay.
and they've paid the lease. And they've taken care of the parcel, and responded when we've asked them to clean up, or fix a fence or whatever needs to be done.
Okay, thank you. I just remember it was
Have they been on any of our projects?
The last project they were on was about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, but they haven't been since. Okay, I think I heard somebody trying to make a motion to authorize the 5-year extension. For those bad guys. And a second, please.
Dean.
Thank you, Director Dean. Gee, that was good. Let me say that. So, I have a motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Motion carries 4 ayes, 1 absent. Okay. 8.5 is approval of authorization to call for bids and award the project on that dreaded East Bay Mud Phase 1.
Yes, so our design is nearly complete for phase one, which is to remove everything above grade. We broke the project into two phases. We should be receiving comments back from East Bay Mud any day now from our design. And we would like to ask the board to go so we can start advertising for bids and then award it, bringing back the award back if it's within 10% of the engineer's estimate.
Questions, comments, motions? Motion. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move the item.
Move authorize the authorization for
8.5.
The motion. I need a second.
Dean.
Director Dean. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I'm sort of opposed, but I'll vote aye. So 4 ayes and 1 absent. Thank you very much. We'll move to item 9, and I'll turn this over to Mr. Dang.
Yes, this item was requested by Director Dean to discuss the board intermediate assignments. And staff did put a really quick PowerPoint presentation together, stating the facts of our current procedure that the board can review and then also have discussion on, and any proposed changes that the board, majority of the board, may want to make. So currently, we have standing committees, and the procedure is that the president appoints two board members to the five standing committees and designates each chair. Now, that is presented and announced at the second board meeting when the president has been put into that position, which is typically December, January timeframe. And that is ratified by majority vote by the entire board. So she or he proposes the assignments, and the board votes to say yes or no. And this particular year, the board majority said yes, they agree with the assignments. Every 2 years, the new president, reviews and may adjust the committee assignments depending on what the each board member desires to be on which committee. So the process typically happens between the president and the board only. Staff has no involvement. So the board president typically gets a request list from each board member, and she or he will assign chairs and members to each committee and then present that entire list to the entire board at the time that it calls, she or he calls for that vote to get it ratified. For external representation, which includes EBDA, ACSDA, and Stop Waste, the board president also nominates board members to serve on those, and those also require majority board approval. So those get presented to the entire board at the same time as the board committee assignments, and the board also has the option to approve or not those nominations to sit on those external part of those external agencies. And currently, the policy states that each rep is selected and stays on each committee or external committee for 2 year terms. This is a real brief overview of the scope of the committees. Committees review and discuss issues before they go to the board. Committees cannot take any action, right? Because it's not the majority of the board. It's only two members of the board, which is not a quorum. And so they make recommendations, they discuss items, and then ask staff to bring it to the full board for discussion and potential approval. And committees may also give guidance to staff when aligned with board policy. Standing committees, these are have continued jurisdiction over a particular subject matter. In this case, it's the five committees that we currently have. The board may periodically review each standing committee's purpose and function to determine whether or not there needs to be adjustments to the scope of each committee. And then, of course, meetings have been canceled in the past if there aren't any new business. And if it's information only, that's at the request from anyone, whether it's staff or the board members themselves. There's also assignments and creations of ad hoc committees. These are temporary committees that are created for specific assignments. They disband when the job is complete. And some examples of some of these ad hoc committees that may be created include labor negotiations, solid waste contract negotiations, and the GM recruitment. And here's the scope of all the committees. Construction committee reviews any projects over 100 grand, monitors project budgets and schedules, and recommends amendments and change orders over $100,000. And that's all purely because that's above my signing authority. So everything above that has to go through board. F&I committee reviews the finance and risk management policies, the monthly financials, oversees audit, which happened recently, budget development, service changes, charges, and connection fees, and also recommends investment and banking actions. Ops committee reviews all the policies related to district operations and also oversees the coordination between the OMC departments. That's operators, maintenance, and corrections. Personnel, safety, and public information committee reviews personnel policies, procedures, and rules, policies, and procedures similar to the two travel policies that the board approved today. Oversees safety training and IIPP. Also guides development of the communications program, which has been approved already. So we'll revisiting that in the future. And lastly, the solid waste committee, which monitors compliance with state and county recycling and diversion requirements, and also making any recommendations related to solid waste regulations and outreach initiatives. For the board seating officer elections, the newly elected board members are sworn in at the next regular meeting after an election. They all serve for 2-year terms. The president announced the committee assignments at their second meeting. The rest of the board ratifies that proposal by majority vote. The president then nominates the representatives for all the for the JPAs of the ACSDA stop base. The board then approves that. And lastly, the committee assignments are 2-year terms, and they may be adjusted by more board majority. And lastly, this is the policy that has been in place since 2000, and the board guidelines and everything I just presented today is based off of this policy. So with that, I will turn it back over to the board president for discussion.
So where does CASA fit in that there? It doesn't.
We don't know any other methods on the budget that we find, but we're thrilled that you're there.
It's not part of our policy because it's not selected by the
anybody
by any of us.
I know. So, Mimi, this was your request, so I'll go right straight to you.
All right. So, you know, I've spoke about this before, but I'll just say review it again. You know, I did request to be on two committees that I didn't get on either committee. And then, and I was pretty sad about that, especially since junk and defunct is kind of who I am, right? Solid waste, that's, and then public outreach, I'm really good at that, right? So I was pretty sad that I didn't get either of those committees. And then, you know, Sheila, you said something about at a meeting a couple of times ago, you said, well, everybody has to serve on operations and instruction.
Well, it was at the retreat. And what I said was that it was important that you learn what the district does and its core mission before you go on what some people found as the cushy commission. But it's
the other ones are cushy?
Well, I think that's why you think they were cushy. But they're not. They're all same. But the point was, when I first came on the board in 2014, I got the same two committees.
And I understand. And I went back, and I went back, and I went back through, like, agendas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I found this.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back through agendas as far as I could go, and I saw other people's names, like Bob Blaze and Walters and all those people. But then Benny said a comment at another meeting about how he'd always been on only finance and personnel. And so then I thought, if it's so important for me to be on operations and construction, it's only important for me? Or it's,
No. It was so important.
So, but do you understand how it made me feel? It made me feel like, huh, I'm told that I have to do this before I can get the cushy.
Maybe I should have said desired committees.
Ah, the desired committees.
We know that you are the queen of junk or junky funk. Junk in the funk. We know that about you. But I, as the president in the assignments, felt it was important that you learn what our real core mission is. And our core mission is to clean the sewer and empty the trash. Anything else is extraneous. So as long as you understand that, your next committee assignments will be more along the lines of what you'd like.
Heard you loud and clear.
Yeah, well, so.
But Benny, the times that he got appointed to finance and
personnel. And I understand that.
But additional to that, Benny has been an elected official for a long time, and he understands the Brown Act and the regulations that prevent him from doing certain things. I also think that's important for you to learn, and I think you've learned some of it the hard way. I think I shared with you before the election, when you get elected, you get handcuffed by the Brown Act. These are certain things you can do and certain things you can't.
So I served on the Eden Act for 5 years, and we were governed by the Brown Act, and I was a teacher. And I was, you know, as a union steward.
I get that part. But when you wanted to be You wanted to come to some of our meetings, and we had to tell you that you could come, but you couldn't talk.
I knew that I couldn't
Well,
talk.
did you do that at the Eden Mac? I don't know. Do they have committees?
Yes.
That are assigned to,
yes, we did have committees.
Well, anyway, so those are my reasons for why I did it. And
all right. Listen, it doesn't really matter. Well, it just seems sad to me that I didn't at least get one thing that I asked for, right? And then
what was the other one you wanted?
I wanted personnel and I wanted solid waste.
And those are two desired committees.
All right.
Which you will probably get one or maybe two whenever the next president comes on board.
So my thing is, I want to know, Benny's, how do you feel about never being on construction or operation? Is that, do you feel like that's important for you to be on? Or,
you know, I review all the minutes. We have those discussions here, and you know, I ask certain questions. Most of the times, I ask questions that I believe that are relevant, but it's immaterial to me. I do like being on the personnel, right? Because it's more on personal rules, policies, and I do like finance, right? Part because you know that's something I've been doing for nearly 40 years of my life. But and Sheila had asked me the question, as well as Rita when I first joined, as well as Fred when Fred was president. I said I'm fine with how you guys want to put, but I have these preferences, and I did share that with them.
So it's funny because you've been getting to have your preferences for 5 years now, and
4 years,
everybody else will
through the third president. Yeah.
So 4 years, right? 4 years, 21, 22, 23, 24, now 25, 5 years. You've got to be on the same committees, and everybody else rotated through all the other committees. It's kind of glaring. It's kind of a red flag to me that everybody should be moving through committees. It just seems like we should all move through committees.
Well, you probably will, as long as you stay on the board.
Well, I'm just saying, it seems like the process has some issues because there's, you know, I think we need to move through. We need to say, okay, you've already served on this one. You're moving to somewhere else. And I would love to learn more about the financial stuff, right?
Let me correct something. I did say to Brett that I was interested in EBITDA at one time, right? But he decided to take that, and it's so it just keeps me on the same.
Most presidents.
Well, yeah. That's because these ones get extra money.
Yeah.
So, of course, I can see the names right here.
Well, most presidents do take EFTA because it is part of JPA. And because we're not asked to be on the committee, but because we are a major player, the presidents generally always take it. I did. Anyway,
I think we need to. I'm sure I'll have more comments, but why doesn't someone else take over?
I'm Rita.
I think we should look at it, and I think we should maybe come up with a process, and then maybe Jimmy can help us where you automatically, you know, move to
staggered.
You know, the next committee, and that would take the burden off the president having to decide, you know, or people not thinking that they're getting what they're entitled to.
The difficulty in that, as you will remember, is that we each serve on two committees. And if you serve on two committees and you're trying to make sure that everybody moves on some sort of staggered basis, that'd be very complicated, but I'm sure we could work it out.
It's that is just my two cents.
No, I get it. I've heard you.
And I think 2 years is fine because it takes that much time, you know, for you to just kind of get up to speed. I mean, I've been on finance a year, and I finally. And breathe, you know, because I think I understand it, and now I value. Not that I wasn't bring value before.
I think you are.
But I do hear what she's saying.
Well, I hear what she's saying.
And I'm thinking, you know, I don't know. I wish we had our logistics person at my company.
So I'll say there's no way for you to make a policy that ensures everyone cycles through, because it's just going to be right. You get one new board member this year, the next year you get three new board members and five committees, two. Yeah. It's just impossible to do, but you do get the opportunity when they're proposed. I mean, that's just the recommendation from the president. So any of the board members can say and change that if that's, you know, something that the board in the future wants to be more focused on, of not just accepting those appointments, but really saying, well, I want to do X, Y, or Z, because I will just say that it would be a, you know, it might work out in year one where we make the policy, but then a year from now there's going to be a new board member in 2 years, and suddenly it's going to mess everything up that we thought was going to work for a rotation.
And I respect your input, but if you work on a manufacturing floor, you have a logistic person that has an algorithm and stuff that they do that, because often you bring in new products, but your point is well taken.
Good. And before Benny speaks, I'll just say that in the 11 years, almost completed 11 years that I've been on the board, I've served with 10 different board members. In years, they were all the same. So those guys did rotate in and out. We've never been able to do that. And it depends on what people fill out in their form and who's happy and who's not happy. And you try to make everybody happy. And then you also try to make sure that someone who's brand new, who's never been on the board before, learns about the operation of the organization. And that was my focus point with you. And I'm sorry if it made you unhappy. You and I can chat. Maybe there's a way we can swap a committee or something to make it better for you in your second year. But as I said earlier, you haven't quite finished a whole year yet.
Oh, I know. But I felt like I needed to say something, because when all those things got said, it just made me feel like, wait a second. How come there's, it seems like there's one set of rules and then there's another set of rules. Well, whatever. It's just the circumstance, whatever.
Sure.
It just really didn't feel great to me. And I had to say something, because it's been bothering me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I filled out the form, it was given to me on my first day when I got sworn in. And then I had to fill it out. And then I think it was the very next meeting, maybe, when I got we were told what our committee assignments were. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I could have said something then, but I was like, wow. I was just kind of blown away that I didn't, the two that I didn't pick as my top choices are the two that I got. So it just felt really weird to me, you know. And then I knew that other people had picked things and they got what they wanted. And I thought, wow, all right. And then, you know, another thing that I think is really important is it would be really helpful for me to work with other people on committees. Like, I'm on both committees with Fred, right? It would be really good. We're both on construction and ops. So you know what? It'd be really great if I got to be with one of you guys all the time, so we could have conversations and talk about things that we thought, you know, instead of it just kind of me and Fred, right?
Got it.
So I think that's really just the things that I noticed that I seem important.
Okay. Director Lee is waiting his patient.
Yeah, let's go.
Go ahead.
Some of the challenges that we have is because of the Brown Act. You know, like, as a president, you have to collect that information, but we really can't have this discussion. When we present this at the meeting, we can have that discussion. We can all talk and we can barter and say, hey, you know, I prefer that committee. Would you mind if I be on it? I said, sure, I'll take that. And I think that's, you know, this process, I believe is sound. I think what being new, I think you may have felt out of place asking that question.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think with us speaking candidly, say, hey, I would really prefer this. That's where we have the opportunity, because we're not binding the ground. We're in open meeting.
Right.
So everything we just take by rope, right? And basically, oh, we're just gonna vote and move it through. But we have opportunity. We have opportunity to make that change. And I think having this presentation tells us that we can do that.
And, we just have to hope that the three people who run next year.
No.
And I think it's incumbent, right, from the chair's perspective to ask that questions. If you have a different preference, now's the time to discuss it.
Right. It would have been so helpful. If,
yes.
It would have been.
No, it would have been so helpful if there was an opportunity to say, okay, who didn't get anything they asked for? And then I would have been like this.
It probably doesn't make you feel any better, but I'm elected.
Me too.
And I went right. But you know what? Construction is a desired committee.
Yep.
And people really love construction.
Oh, I'm not saying I don't love my committees, and I'm learning tons of great stuff. But
that's good.
I just the other day when I was sitting in the solid waste committee meeting, and you know, people were uncertain about schools and stuff like that. And you saw me, and you called it, Sheila,
yeah.
And you were like, Mimi is probably wants to just.
So,
because I know about the schools, right?
Well, I'm not sure that you know what our responsibility is. That might be the key. Benny?
So I think staff needs to probably just amend the policies that the chair will ask our, do we have any discussion on the seats?
Well,
or, you know,
I don't think you've got to put it in the policy.
Well, no, I think that's because if that question is asked, right?
Well, you ask it when you pass out the form.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
They hear the committees that I have assigned. If you don't like them, bring it up at the meeting.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you need to put it in.
Okay.
Not children.
Okay, that's fine. I just thought that adding that in would
that's just
clarify.
More work for staff.
Well, you may have all of the committees.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I mean.
No, she's just joking. No pressure.
Three of us are.
We're getting punch drunk. I mean,
yeah, we're maybe playing musical tears.
I will make a commitment to you to meet with you offline, just you and I, not three people, not four, just me and you, and we'll talk about whether there's an opportunity to make a change for one committee in January, one that I have that maybe you want. All right, we'll talk about it.
And everybody else is okay then.
Well, I think everybody else likes
it. No, I'm not talking about committees. I'm talking about the way it's done. Like, is there anybody that thinks that we should move to a system that's where we do rotate through?
Well, that was my belief. I don't think it's possible to rotate through.
I think it's possible. It's just, you know, if a board member leaves, then you just have to skip. You have to jump two spaces instead of one. You know what I mean? Like you start here. You have
five committees.
I know, but it's pretty easy to do. Like you have, you know, five names here, and then you have five names here, and
three of those names go away, and you get three new people, and it's almost impossible to even think about trying to do that.
Not in my brain, it's not. Not in my brain. So, are we voting on this or what's happening here?
This is not an action item.
If there's direction to bring something back as an action item, we can certainly do that. But it's not an action item tonight.
I'm listening. Is there something you want to have them bring back?
Well, I'm still advocating for a different way to do it, for us to look into some other way instead of
leaving it up to the president to make the choice.
Yeah.
Why would you take that power away from? I mean, we don't have many powers as a president, the same as everybody else. And the system has worked for the last 20 years. 20. It was first elected, first written in the year 2000.
So it's 25. Hello.
Okay.
I can do math too.
I only wish it was the year 2000.
It's not about taking away powers. It's just.
That must be 2000.
It's not about taking away power. It's about equity. And it's about equity. It's about, you know, fairness. And that's what it is to me. You know, that's how I feel. That's how I feel. That's the lens I view things through. Right. It's
well,
not.
I get it that you feel that it wasn't fair to you, but I don't think the rest of the board feels that their assignments were unfair. And I frankly, I'm perplexed that you would accuse me of being unfair.
Okay, the whole, okay, was it you that was unfair? I don't know. I understand why you gave me those assignments. You've told me why I got those assignments. But I'm still sorry, Benny, I'm going to bring you up again because it's like Benny's only served on two committees.
Well, I didn't appoint Benny
to know.
Anything except this year.
I know. So, but he got appointed by you to the same committees he served on for 4 years.
I didn't
so,
look back to see what you served on before.
So do you understand why it's hard for me? Because I got assigned to committees. Benny got a committee that I wanted, but he's been on that committee already for 4 years. So it just seems like if you're going to be the person assigning, you should know what they've already had. And you should go, oh, snap, he's already been on that committee for 4 years. I'm moving him off. Mimi, you're getting that one. You know what I mean? It just seems like if you're going to be the one making the decisions, you got to have all the data. I think that we keep coming back to having data when we make our decisions. And, you know, that's where I am. So I think we should continue to look at this. And I'd like to hear what Fred has to say.
George Lee.
So, you know, what I see is it's important for us each to have, you know, intermix, right? Like I should have a committee with her. I should have, you know, because
right.
We have, yeah. And I think that's what the president should be cognizant of, right? And that's why we're having this discussion now. Going forward, I think it's important for each of us to serve at least one, you know, on have an intermix of the yeah, it doesn't make sense for Fred and Mimi to both serve on two different committees, right? It should be mixed with at least another one. And it gives us the opportunity of working together.
Exactly.
So those are my comments, right?
Yeah, that's a very good point. And I do understand your comments. Maybe this forum, which I've never seen. I've never seen this done this way.
I got this out of minutes. I went on our website.
You created.
No, I found all these.
No, but I mean, you didn't find this specific.
Yes, I did.
Piece of paper.
Yes, I did. I found it in a committee, in a board agenda item.
I've never seen
an assignment. This was, I think, when Fred was president. This was at the when the I typed in committee assignments in the search on our website, and I got all the different agendas that had all the different committee assignments. And I looked only in the month of December, and I was able to find all this stuff on who's been on what committee. And yeah,
but this specific
this
document,
paper, yes,
I've never seen
this before.
I've never seen it.
What do you recall? Which agenda minutes you took?
Patricia, you've got the email.
I thought you.
I mean, I can go.
Well, it's not guessing, man. You can let us know later. I'm ready to go home.
I think it must have been. When was Fred president?
21, 22. Yes.
No, he was.
No, no, no.
22, 23,
24.
So it was the last?
No. Fred was chair in 21, 20. He was
no,
president of the board.
21, 22 was Rita.
So
all I know is that
the first president.
All I know is that it was during the pandemic.
Yes.
So other days, because we all,
mm-hmm.
all my meetings were on.
Right. We're all on Zoom.
Yes.
So it must have been from December 22.
Must have been.
It's because I really, you can just go on our about us. And you can just type it, search, and you can say committee assignments, and you can find all kinds of stuff.
I won't be doing that.
I know. Well,
however, I think your point is well taken.
Mm-hmm.
And this document, we should keep this document, update this document with 24,
yes.
20, 25,
yes.
26.
Yes.
And then in 26, we'll review it again and make sure that we pay attention to assignments.
I like it. I think that's a good
and
idea.
I'll still meet with you later and talk about the possibility of switching or not.
Okay.
If you want to switch up. I love construction. Anyway, if there's nothing
well, maybe more, other people want to switch.
I don't think anybody does. I'm ready to go home. But I think your points are well taken.
Yes.
And I hope you feel heard.
I do feel heard. I do. Thank you.
You still feel heard, or are we trying to make
heard?
It heard?
No. Oh, even though I have bad hearing now.
I have bad hearing. How long have you said hurt?
No.
Okay, we don't hurt anymore.
Okay.
But we have heard you.
Yes.
So what I
thumbs up. Can we close out this meeting?
Yes.
Thank you. Then we shall move on to Davin Director comments. Mr. Dang.
Let's say happy Thanksgiving to the board.
Little daughter's at holiday already.
Woohoo!
Alex?
Nothing.
Not even happy turkey.
He stole the words right out of my mouth.
Aloha.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Aloha.
May I make a quick comment?
Yes, you may.
I did want to truly and deeply thank the board for the support over the years. This whole communications graphic design thing is just something that I wanted to pitch in with the communications plan because I thought I needed an upgrade. But the encouragement I received at that meeting, all of you and Fred as well as encouragement from my coworkers, really inspired me to see if I can do more. And so I am very grateful for the encouragement, for the kind words, for the eyes and the motions and the seconds, all of it. It's my pleasure to serve the board and the district. I take what I do here very seriously, and I try to do the best job I can do. So I am so grateful. Thank you very much.
Well, you are most welcome. I really love you. All right. What to do?
I'm going to say it. I just wish it could have a better job name. I'm not in love with that job name.
You don't need money.
Unfortunately, that's not our job.
I know, but still, I had to say it anyway.
That's
and I
right.
Hope everybody has a nice Thanksgiving and a good holiday season. I'm going to go down to my sister's house and read a lot of books and lounge around.
Where would that be?
She lives in the hills in between Salinas and Monterey.
Oh, nice.
And there's more llamas than people.
Mm. Wow.
And it's pretty ding dang nice. And then we have a beach house. Well, she has a beach house, but
love
yeah,
it.
That's
all right. Dr. Duncan?
Just toasting 15 people. Yeah.
Oh, that's too many people.
And cooking a whole bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I'm excited.
Are you a traditional turkey person?
No, my son and his wife, they do the actually do two turkeys.
Primary.
And ham and period. I just have to do the rolls. The rolls of that
at the table.
No, I did all that. I just have to do the rolls, the dressing and the mac and cheese.
Okay.
And this year I'm adding Jimmy Dean's sausage to my.
Oh, I thought he was coming to dinner.
No.
I'm tired too.
To my dressing.
Okay.
Dean.
And happy Thanksgiving, everyone. And safe travels if you're traveling.
Thank you, Tiny Tim. Director Lee.
Well, I echo all the comments my colleagues have said, right? And I'm pretty sure you can already wish all our staff, right, happy Thanksgiving. I want to thank staff personally from the bottom of my heart, and of course, congratulations for all the great work that you guys have done this year. You know, obviously, the calendar year is almost over, the fiscal year we have until June.
Right.
Yeah, but it's the we're approaching the end of the year, it's a time to reflect. It's a time to reflect on all the great things that have happened. Again, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank all everyone, staff as well as the team, for you know working together on wonderful policies to make this agency better.
I think this is one of the few years we've had the same five people for a whole time. So I too would certainly echo any of these comments. I just want to say there's a reason why we are the plant of the year in the state of California. So my kudos to all the staff, but more importantly, to this one back here. Patricia, you are a phenomenal employee and quite a mother to four children. I don't know how you do it with four kids. And I think Liliana agrees with us because I can see her floating her congratulations. So with that.
That's high tech.
Yeah, that's high tech stuff. With that, this meeting is adjourned.
Mimi, do you have your surgery scheduled on
a little bit?